Eureka! I have to perform little seances. To whom it may concern, before I start to recite my poems and to play the piano, you should be in a somewhat relaxed, quiet, mellow state of mind, preferably drowsy. Forget it if you're resentful and angry.
About that at the time, because they didn't have a knowledge of what people from other planets were.
Dog getting the taste for blood. I guess there's no turning back.
Not rhyme on tracks. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. I will not rhyme over tracks. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. Don't drop the beat on me. Don't drop the beat, no. I'm not the son of Shaklak Clack. I'm before that. I am before. I'm before, before, before. Death is eternity, after death is eternity. There is no death, there's only eternity. And I be riding on the wings of eternity like, ya, 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 sha, clack, clack. Get me the fuck off this track.
They got us using drum machines now. Trying to make our drum come drum. Trying to move our magic. Instruments be political business up inside computers.
But before that night, I'd never killed anything in my whole life. Who has? But, well, maybe it was some kind of turning point. Some kind of turning point, you know. What happens is you get so involved with these guys. So wrapped up in their sick, sick little sex games that before you know it, and each time it gets sooner and sooner, that you need more and more. And sometimes, you know, there just ain't enough to go around. That is, maybe only you and he got so much to give. And well, once you've given it all the fuck away, all that you got to give, right? Gone, done, giving it away. Well, that's when you start to steal.
Used about this, so of course it's a very confused story. In my book, I do speak of this, of some of the, I highlight on some of those things.
Yes, issued a statement.
And so is Chris Rock.
Chris Rock has issued, both of them issued a very brief statement.
Eat a box of crayons and threw up on the table.
I mean, I just don't, you know, it's like the thing about the quadrants and all that, it really is just abstract little markers, reminders, you know. Again, it's like anything. You're looking at the landscape from here to Boulder. Very, very rich and complex. And coming up with maps, it always flattens it out and makes it a bit of a mess. We have a lot of people working on flash and computer presentations, and it gets much, much more interesting when you do that.
And finally, Margaret. To be a good president, I fear that a man cannot be his own mentor. He cannot live the Sermon on the Mount. He has to be a Machiavelli, a Caesar, a Borgia, an unctuous religio, a liar.
Rush Limbaugh, as well as pretty much anybody.
1, 2, 3. I'm thinking about advertising. Should I have that kind of splendiferous money?
Yes, ma'am.
Those for preventing strokes. And most of the advice that I'm going to give you has to do with sensible health advice in general.
Down on Caroline's countdown with the time coming up to 26 minutes past 5 o'clock. Don't forget, at 6 o'clock, along comes big, wide, wonderful Daffy Don Allen with the Request and Action Show. So why don't you tune in then, right?
Nice one. Later.
There you are. No, don't look at that side. No cribbing. My working out's on that side. You work it out for yourself on the other side.
Or in a hurry. Frustrated, unhappy, confused, unsatisfied. Whatever. Fill in the blank. Simply take a warm bath. Try not to think of the issues of the day. Assume a yoga position. Mumble a mantra or something. I don't know. Just cool your jets. Once that's done, lower the lights. If you'd like to have a cigarette or to have a glass of wine.
Because you want to give more and more, and you want to get more and more, and there just ain't nothing left to be had that you ain't already had. So you think, and you think, and you think, I mean, just about your whole fucking life, right? And he still wants more, and what's worse is that you still want more too, right? Your whole fucking life.
Well, what we're trying to do is bring the knowledge to the people who can manifest these powers. We're hoping that among us and among the people who are seeking the truth, they will be able to manufacture magnetic energy and solar energy for you, so that space travel, as I know it, will be beneficial to you.
used to work once, but need a lot of homing. Just that's already be happening. They're just more and more more getting because you to start when you got to give right, gone, done, giving it away. Well, that's when you start to steal.
They will be able to manufacture magnetic energy and solar energy.
A whatnot? To be successful?
And I decide to economize. So we've had all electric fires off and the immersion off. And I've been using the coal fire in the front room and the old back boiler.
And the more insidious delusions of insignificance.
Tune on in then, tune on. Tune in! Yeah, that's what you gotta do. Tune in to...
of the Diffy Donnelly.
I don't know who's deafier, me or him. Anyway, now then, what have we got to talk to you about? Oh, yeah, I know what I want to talk to you about. £400, that's what I want to talk to you about. That's the way the CCC stands, the Caroline Cash Casino. At the moment, yes, £400 in the kitty already. It's very...
Fine, that's no problem. Couple beers, a night on the town, limo, cocaine, hookers, gigolos.
You had to let go of trying to be the exception. I am not special. I am not better than. So that you had the prehensile capacity to grab onto the exceptional. To otherwise pass you by.
Gigolos. Whatever it takes, so people let it go.
About that, whether, or how you actually classify it.
meet if they were flexible enough to come together at that point. But with the Strine pattern, that point moves considerably. It now focuses in the nasal passages. The spot of focus is now above the soft palate.
Space travel as I know it will be beneficial to you.
While you're holding on to this exception, I am too the exception. I'm different than everybody else. I'm better than, I'm worse than, I'm the exception. Sauntering by, the exceptional. And you can't see it because you're so busy trying to be the exception.
And Stuart Smalley, Al Franken has come out and has said quite a bit and was on a lot of TV shows last night.
Chris Rock said, quote, Farley was one of my best friends. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever known. I love him, and I'm going to miss him. Adam Sandler said, we...
I'm the only one that can hear it. Don't cry. And, you know, slurp up on Chris Farley.
It's not going to work if he...
It mounts up very quickly. Well, at 150 pounds a day, you know, it does mount up very quickly indeed. I'm going to give you the clues that we have up to date so far. This new third competition, and if you can link them together and come up with an answer, well, please send it in right away, because hope you win. You know, maybe you'll win big, big money. I sure hope, well, I know you'll win big, big money if you win, but it'll get even bigger, so, you know, but be first, because then you will win, you see. Here we go.
Your brain loves light. Who controls your eyeballs? Programs your mind. We're also passing on in this demonstration the message of Ralph Waldo Emerson, the first and probably the greatest American philosopher, who said, divinity lies within. Don't look to the churches or to the big marble institutions. Your divinity lies within. You must learn to operate your brain, operate your soul. Learn how to communicate brain to brain, soul to soul with other people. Your divinity lies within. Your hands are so full of trying to prove to everybody what an exception you are.
Because you want to give more and more, and you want to get more and more, and there just ain't nothing left to be had that you ain't already had. So you think, and you think, and you think, I mean, just about your whole fucking life, right? And he still wants more, and what's worse is that you still want more too, right? Your whole fucking life. And it still ain't enough. So maybe you have to give him someone else's, something else's life. I mean, someone, something, like in loving memory.
And open up your imagination. Now, if you're the type of personality who disapproves of smoking and drinking, even of caffeine, spark up some incense, candles, have no duels or something.
Could genuinely be described as anti-secular for the very simple reason there was no secular option.
Their thinking would in fact create just that option. The apocalypse is a dynamic which creates the secular world.
So I probably won't be. But I'm having a lot of fun.
You made the choice. You busted and healed the delusions so that you could let go. And then freely, openly grasp the exceptional of your complexity. Your individual, unique complexity. It is special, not you.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever met any of your Gdansky's contacts?
Yeah. Dealt with? Oh, sure, of course. I'm very familiar with them. They're... Yes, Orthon, right. I recognize them, you know. My father's name was Odin, and my uncle's name was... my uncle's name was Odin, and my father's name was, you know, Nethar. And it's like they are people that I've been told about, that were some of the original people coming here in the 50s.
Above the velum, not in the top of the mouth, even way back on the velum or uvula in the mouth, but on the other side, the upper side of that soft palate.
Mind, in consciousness, that existentialism is going to highlight. But I should add, don't take the stranger as a kind of exemplar of the existentialist standpoint, but rather he's a kind of thought experiment in which many of the features of human nature are brought into focus. Camus was counted as one of the existentialists virtually from the 40s, when Sartre invented the term. He and Sartre were, in fact, quite good friends for some time. They both hit the literary scene in Paris at the beginning of the war, and consequently they were two young men on the make, and they were both involved in the theater in Paris and so on. They broke off around 1955 for reasons we'll get to later. But basically, there was a sense in which Camus never really felt comfortable with the existentialist label, and at one point later in his career, actively repudiated it. For one thing, Camus wasn't the Parisian that Sartre was. Camus was born and raised in Algeria, as opposed to Sartre's rather well-to-do, middle-class upbringing. Camus was brought up in poverty, in fact, rather dire poverty, and he talks about that in some of his novels and his letters. Algeria at the time was in a state of civil war.
Try on the opposite approach.
And the clues from the beginning. A colorful business marks the start of this test, one of tinsel and glitter in our quizzical quest.
Like in dedication. Like more. Like more.
And I'm not trying to advocate anything illegal. Give me a break, okay? I mean, enough's enough.
It is different than, not better than. And out of that complexity, with celebration and triumph, a new light with precious substance, a new warmth.
Ryan is over here, yeah, and he's pretty much like a thousand watt bulb
face. Holding my face in the camera, and it zoomed in on my mouth, exactly, okay.
Yeah.
Exactly, and he flipped the screen around so I can actually
see myself jogging.
just for the camera, I
have a call from
somebody. They said that somebody called them and left some real nasty
inappropriate messages on there. Their phone, and that's not okay.
It's a known fact that they put fluoride in the water. So, I mean, it's
right. Well, maybe we should clarify what we mean by they. I think.
Well, that and the fact that old Black Romy, or at least that's what I'd call him, you know, this real big, ugly cat the size of a fucking dog, like he'd always come around pissing all over the place, right? Sneaks in the bathroom window. I gotta leave it open because it's hot in there, right? Chases all my other animals around, always howling and a wailing and a pissing and a spraying, pestering the shit out of me, right? Every goddamn night.
Maybe it'll win. Lots of love, Dad.
Say, Rose, are Mr. Johnston or Mr. Whitney there? They're there. Well, fine. What about the Attorney General? Tom Clark's there, and what about Charlie Ross? Well, good, good. Send them all in, Rose. Thank you very much.
Good morning, gentlemen. I see you, Mr. Johnston. You're looking very well, sir. Fine, fine. Mr. Whitney, how are you, sir? Fine. Tom, Charlie, please stand right there. Well, gentlemen, what have you worked out on the proposed settlement? You mean to tell me that 18 of your 20 railroad brotherhoods are willing to accept the arbitration award, but you're going to stop the railroads from running anyhow? Well, boys, if I knew you were going to tell me that, I wouldn't have asked you over here this morning. The good Lord may have built the earth in 6 days, but that surely was before labor unions. If you think I'm going to sit here and let you tie this whole damn country up, you're crazier than hell. You've got 48...
try to talk to the government about the things they were doing that was endangering...
of something other than the glow of enlightenment, with a tender and loving voice.
I got enough worries to deal with. And one more thing. If you have someone in the room with you right now who's a motor mouth,
yep.
They're always talking, complaining, criticizing, bragging, whining, lying, asking, denying, threatening, accusing, griping, fault-finding, undermining, bitching, bickering, and backstabbing.
To help you, we'd say, if your mind isn't limber, bring it down to a place with thoughts of Christmas and timber. Relate to angels, find a section of note, but to reach it, you could book a passage by boat.
Atmosphere and the balance of Earth. So I'm very aware of them. Adamski was one of the people, you know, that was one of our first contacts here. Yes, sir. No, it's the same. In the physical universe, is like the lowest plane you can go to, all the physical universe, all the solar systems, all everything including planet Earth. It's like you drop a rock in water and everything goes out in a circle. We're in the middle. This is the lowest point of existence. It's like the solid. As you go upward on these circles, it gets less and less materialistic and less of a body as we know it. And our body is like sheaths over the soul. And as the soul goes up, it drops these sheaths on those planes. Then when you get to the God worlds, you're more or less just a light or the soul. No, everything's the same. Everything is located in the same aspect.
Put together, your brain generates waves of activity that you can detect on the outside of the skull with a relatively simple electrode. A little while ago, we discovered that some of those kind of wave states basically can be divided up into kind of five or six general categories, and they have names like alpha and beta and theta and delta and so on. And some of them are associated with deep meditative calm. Some of them are associated with attention and focus. Some of them are associated with kind of being distracted, and some of them are associated with sleep. And the idea of this neurofeedback technology is that you can take information from the brain in the form of these waves, classify it, say, okay, he's got a lot of alpha wave activity, or he has a lot of beta activity, or doesn't have very much theta activity, and put that into a computer basically in real time. And you can see the part of neurofeedback that's feedback is that you can see that activity on the screen as it's happening. So you can say, oh, wow, I have a lot of alpha activity. Oh, I have a lot of beta. And because there's some theory that you might be able to help people who have attention problems, people who have ADD, for instance, the premise is that you can, by getting that extra layer of feedback, it's like a kind of a brain mirror, in a sense. You can look into your brain from a new angle, in a sense, and you... If you have that information, the idea is that you can kind of drive your brain into different states by getting that extra layer of feedback. So you can say, okay, right, this is me in alpha. Now, if I just change my mental state a little bit, oh, there it goes, I'm going more towards beta, et cetera, et cetera.
Good morning.
So you do get up. I was beginning to think perhaps you worked in bed like myself proves.
Who's he?
You wouldn't know him, French writer.
Come to my boudoir.
You don't put on much of a front, do you?
Well, there isn't much money in this business, if you're honest.
Are you honest?
Are we going to start that again?
I'm sorry. Also about yesterday. Perhaps I was rude.
We were both rude. You want to see me about Taylor?
So you know about that. Poor Owen.
Yeah, the DA's man took me down to Lido last night. Turned out he knew more about him than I did. For instance, he knew that Owen Taylor wanted to marry your sister once.
Perhaps it wouldn't have been such a bad idea. You see, he was in love with her. But I didn't come here about Owen. Do you still feel you can't tell me what my father wants you to do?
Well, without his permission.
You can't even tell me if it was about Carmen?
Nope.
Well, you better look at this. Messenger bought it this morning.
8:35.
That's right.
Which takes a nice picture.
They want $5,000 for the negative and the rest of the prints.
And the demand came how?
A woman telephoned me shortly after this thing was delivered.
What else was there?
Does there have to be something else?
Well, this thing isn't worth $5,000 to anybody.
Well, they think it is.
Why?
The woman said if they didn't get the money today, I'd be talking to my sister through a wire screen. She said there was a police jam connected with it.
What kind of a jam?
I don't know.
Do you know where this picture was taken?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Or when?
No.
You talked to Carmen about it?
She was asleep when I left.
You figure out a story?
Norris fixed that.
How?
She was in all evening. Police already checked that when they called about Owen.
Go ahead and scratch. What is Owen doing with your car last night?
Nobody knows. He took it without permission. Why do you think that...
That he knew about this picture? I don't rule him out. And outside of what the woman said, you don't know any reason why they want $5,000 for it.
That's why I came to you.
There's usually five fingers on any glove. Why didn't you go to the police?
Because I thought that
you were afraid they might turn up something that I couldn't sit on. Then where would the stern would be? Isn't that right?
May I use your phone, Mr. Marlowe? Hello? Police headquarters, please. Hello, this is Mrs.
Hello, what do you want, please? What? I called you. Say, who is this? Sergeant Riley. Well, there isn't any Sergeant Riley here.
I know that. Now, look,
Wait a minute. You better talk to my mother.
I don't want to talk to your mother. Why should I want to talk to your mother? She didn't call me.
Hello, who's this? The police? Well, this isn't a police station. Well, if you know it, then why did you... Look, this is not a police station. What was that you said?
And that's it. That's the clues that we have. They're the clues that we have up to date. Tomorrow there'll be another clue in the Caroline Cash Casino shows. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11, 12, and 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
The wrong time. And you're always too scared to just, you know, reach down and pat him, or too scared to pick him up and throw him out, because one day, okay, one day, as Pep,
to relent about the ugly bastard. Him, that one old pussy. Pussy eye, you know? He seemed real quiet. Real quiet. Too quiet. And we're lying in bed, and I'm stroking and petting him, you know, rubbing him all real slow and soft and sweet. And shit, he's all curled up in a little ball, okay? Well, in a big, black, rank, stinky ball, when all of a sudden he just bites the shit out of my goddamn hair, man. How does he can, the bastard, right? He comes in pissing under my goddamn bed, pissing and shitting and squawking, biting the shit out of me so the blood's running all over the bed. And before I can even register what he's done, right, he rolls over and pretends he's asleep.
Oh, my father should hear this.
Yes. Well, every planet has to go through stages, and we're in the Iron Age. Earth is in the Iron Age. Earth is in the Iron Age. Got to go through the stages like any other planet does. It's got to grow and develop, and the consciousness has to be raised to a point. You know, there's going to have to be a revolution in this time. Well, it's called the Iron Age. You go down to the... We're in the Iron Age, and you transition into the Golden Age. And another sense of talking, like if you read back into some of the prophecies of time, you have to go through a sort of revolution here, where the people are not willing to be manipulated anymore, where they're going to walk away from the material things and stand up, realize the individual power. The source of individualism is very strong. Think about the factories, the airports, everything that's manufactured and run by you. Not by the people that own these things. There's very few of them. If you read back into some of the prophecies of... Yes. It is called the Iron Age. If you... By you. Not people that own these things. There's very few of them. There's very many of you.
If you had a kid with attention deficit disorder, I mean, theoretically, you put this on, and it's structured so that when their mind is behaving properly, when they're concentrated, the game rewards them. Their bike goes faster.
And you moved without moving at all. Enlightened one to becoming exceptional one. You know what you want and you know how to get it. You have all the tools you need. You have everything that you need. You are done. You have enough to go through the rest of this life happy, successful, accomplished, achieving, winning.
Hello, who is this? Yeah, but she just told you that. Oh, you're the police. Oh, he's the police. Oh.
Our minds are softened, our linear
sharp, logical thinking is gentle, and we're communicating brain to brain. We're using the electron, computer circuits, to feed each other's brains with light. This is the first paragraph, the first attempt, the first child's primer in how to communicate using both the orderly left brain and the chaotic, confusing language of photons and electrons. The brain is a photoboard. Your brain, my brain, our brains live on light, just as the body needs air and carbohydrates. Our brains are starved for light, for illumination, for revelation. Use your head. Learn how to operate your brain. The brain is designed to design realities.
Better to do anyway that night, just lying in bed like we usually do. And fuck it. If that fucking cat don't shut up, man, I'm gonna kick his fucking head, and I'm sick to death of not only the cat, but of him saying this, you know. I hear a lot of talk, buddy. I hear a lot of goddamn talk, but I don't see no action.
Kind of exactly. Train that you let them associate the feeling of concentration. Is that the idea?
Yeah, there's literally a video game which is giving you the feedback. So if you move your kind of mental state towards a waveform pattern that's associated with the tension, the bike goes faster. If you move it away from that state, the bike goes slower. And I've tried this, and it is a very uncanny feeling. You can, with a little bit of kind of practice, you can reliably, kind of push that bicycle across the screen just by trying to focus. And if you then kind of unwind and relax and get a little distracted, you'll see the bicycle slow down. It's like the closest thing to telekinesis that I've ever experienced in my life.
Oh, well, that's different. What can I do for you? I can do what? Where? Oh, no, I wouldn't like that. Neither would my daughter. I hope the sergeant never traces that call.
You like to play games, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Preston!
and seeing how at the Democratic National Convention people are, the dissenters are in a cage. Seeing all of these police suggest to me that the terrorists have actually won because they have really transformed our lives, because in fact this country is now shimmering and in fact terrified because this nation refuses to stand up and fight a real war against terrorism.
Because I want to give you a lot of material in a short amount of time.
This has to happen at one time or another. Yes, ma'am.
I don't see no action, so I say, well, I don't. Why don't you smash his fucking head in then?
Why did you stop me phoning?
Beds in these theaters, they put subliminals. I mean, who knows what they could really do to a movie that, you know, maybe at one multiplex doesn't have that.
It's been proven that theaters have been using MK Ultra style technology to manipulate the mind. There was a story about 6 or 7 years out of Japan. It was one of the Pokemon movies. They used that technology, and it actually caused a bunch of kids to have seizures.
Right.
If anyone out there has any information on that, I'd love to get my hands on that. Maybe we can post that on the website.
A disturbing report about a new threat from a drug you've probably given your children to get some sleep. Cough and cold medicine. It's right there in your medicine cabinet. Generally safe if used as directed, but in large amounts, it can become a dangerous, even deadly, mind-altering drug.
And don't forget, if you do come up with an answer here, any idea at all, send it in. Write it down on a bit of paper together with your name and address very clearly. Send it in to Caroline Cash Casino, number 3, Radio Caroline, London, W1. And mark on the outside of the envelope which of the product proofs of purchase you have included. Because in order to qualify for entry, you must enclose one of...
terrified because this nation refuses to stand up and fight a real war.
Hours to reach a settlement. If you don't, I'm going to take over the railroads in the name of the government. That's all, boys. I said that's all, Mr. Dustin, Mr. Whitney.
Differences in my skin texture, my digestive system, the way my heart beats a little faster. I manufacture my own calcium. I'm not, yeah, just like you.
I'm working for your father.
I go, yeah, now. Now, daddy all big in the pants, now.
Thank you.
it can get very three-dimensional, and there's spirals and spheres. And
secularism is the result of tensions within religion.
Positive feedback. We have very positive feedback.
That opens the gate
between us. Spin is, and how terrible the New York Times spin is, because it's dividing the country, undermining the war on terrorism. And his final line was, the spin must stop. Our lives depend on it.
Because I'm working for your father.
Oh.
Or because I think I'm beginning to like another one of the Sternwoods.
I prefer the second reason.
Well, let's get back to business. Have you got $5,000 in cash?
No.
Why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself?
That opens the gate between me and you and turns off the heat on the stew.
There's a shuttle coming into dock, the key fitting into
the. There's punishment for your decision. It's company policy to give you the plague.
Waiting for a sign from you, waiting for the signal to change. Have you forgotten what your love can do? Is this the end?
Can you get it?
I think so.
Walking through the city, your boots are high-heeled and are shining bright. The sun was sparkling on the shaft of your life.
And waves and streams, so you can get some very, very compelling graphics going when you do.
Lives depend on
it. I wanted just a minor part, but I'm no fool, and know you're cool. I never really wanted your heart.
And then he had just spun the statement of Governor Kaine to serve his own interests.
The White House against our specifications.
But from your father?
I'd rather not.
Where would you get it?
Well, Matty Mars.
The gambler.
Journalist, the air said to me, I know nothing of your American politics.
Will the convention be, will the sergeant at arms?
Cool when I'm around, flower in the
and new metaphysics. I'm the only one here. Nobody else in the room. Got the old air controller going. Voice splitters. And some woodchucking machines. So I'm not alone. After all. Gary Geiserman pumping it. Pedaling hard. Sometimes it's uphill, sometimes down. Here in the mature stage of the civilized technology, the Matrix. Of course, it's a maturity that may never end. Or at least not until one man or one part of a man owns 99.999% of anything that can be strapped down or quantified. Let's keep the left liberals happy with that academ speech. So they have hope in university because they know, however delusional it may be, that everything can be known exactly, even if we haven't got to it yet. We can. Of course, the right is very much at home in the Matrix, since it's the home field advantage kind of thing. Playing by their rules, dominating male principle. You don't know about it? Get hip to it, brother. Or you may slip into doom and gloomsville for an answer. For a quantification. So watch your sides. Interesting time these days. Name of that tune.
Dance away all over the room wherever the music takes.
A lot of scampering around. Well, of course, the goddess energy, a lot of it. That's the non-dominating female principle. Coming in the back door. Meeting somewhere in the family room, even if there's nobody home. Of course, my attention is elsewhere, as has been the case for about 3 decades or so, when I missed out on a career of cynical stand-up comedy, or just regular hipster-isms. Just couldn't keep track of all the referents. So my attention's elsewhere. As may be the case with you, although you may not even be aware that part of your attention is elsewhere. It can happen, you know. It's conceptual reality. And when a lot of thoughts get together and conspire, creating a cabal of conception, conceptual molecules, if you will, the nasty arm of the vector can reach out, sweep through space, time, and just put your dominating male principle in the trash bin without your even knowing about it, is what's cool here. So since the future creates the present, it's all kind of coming in the front door, looking like the back door, turning us every which way. So make sure you have your Clausewitz logic on, your Machiavelli, the good kind. It's a lot more fun that way. 6U's and newmetaphysics.com. Download this, that, or those. No PayPal over there. No subliminal fingerprint on the screen kind of body odor analyzing device on that site. Of course, it could be a disguise. Circa 1995 HTML coding there. It's kind of like a living museum piece. If I do say so myself. Email Gary at newmetaphysics.com. You can send pictures or audio, you know. Moving pictures. About 2.5 to 3 megs or less. So I tried to get the ESPN stream today and I couldn't get it. It's too arcane. Too Byzantine, convoluted, and esoteric over there. You know that Windows Media player? I even upgraded that fucker and it still couldn't get that cocksucker down. ESPN. Oh well. That's what happens when you have spermaticide technology at work. Yeah, you were right. It is all wrong in the Matrix. You were right. It is all wrong in the Matrix.
Oh, well, that explains why you haven't got $5,000 in cash.
So let's keep it rolling, just like a financial instrument. Just return it, turn it over, and roll that fucker on into oblivion. Until that one person has it in their possession. And in those famous words, until that day,
the parents you're about to meet never suspected a thing. Here's E. Magnus.
Okay, it's been an hour and a half since you started.
You hallucinating?
I think I can if I close my eyes, but I want to take out my pills before I start doing that.
What do you got?
You are listening to two college buddies at the start of a psychedelic drug trip.
What?
Being the big man that he is, right, he flips out of bed muttering something like, I'll show him who's fucking king of the junkyard, right, or something is equally appropriate, and he starts making all the right cat noises, right? Black Romeo, Black Romeo, you know, baiting the bastard, calling out to him his name and shit, you know, getting real dead set, getting real set, and just what it is he feels he has some kind of mission to oblige, and he says, you gotta help me. What? Help you what? Kill it.
I like gambling.
Well, so do I. How do you know he'll give it to you?
Oh, I can get the money. I've been a good customer of Eddie Mars. Another reason. There's a bond between Mr. Mars and the Sternwoods. You see, Sean Regan ran off with Eddie's wife. That doesn't interest you?
Might make it easier for me to find him. That is, if I were looking for him. Is Regan mixed up in this?
Different free oscillating systems have different natural frequencies.
Roosevelt is serving his first full term when the 1936 Democratic Party convention opens that June morning in Philadelphia.
No, Sean's not in any cheap blackmailing scheme.
I'm glad you said that. You want to tell me now?
Tell you what?
What it is you're trying to find out. Well, it's a funny thing. You're trying to find out what your father hired me to find out, and I'm trying to find out why you want to find out.
You could
out.
Go on forever, couldn't you? Sure. Anyway, it'll give us something to talk about next time we meet. Thank you.
Good evening. Last week we lamented the fact that the music industry was gaining ground in their battle to stop internet radio by charging impossibly high royalties. But wait, it's getting worse. On that same day, a bill was introduced into the U.S. House of Representatives that would allow spies hired by the big music companies to hack into your computer and even shut it down with impunity. They merely suspect that you have copyrighted material. I'm not making this up. Representative Howard L. Berman, a Democrat from California, is the sponsor of this bill, along with several other members of both parties. Of course, it's entirely coincidental that they all are among the top recipients of campaign contributions from the entertainment industry. Berman was quoted as saying, "Theft is theft, including illegally downloading a song." Well, Representative Berman, I'd say go read the Constitution. Unreasonable search and seizure includes hacking into a private computer just as much as breaking into a private home. Perhaps I could also say that theft is theft when it includes charging prices that can easily be called highway robbery. Let's review a little bit of music business history. Once upon a time, say about 20 years ago, an album typically cost about $8. Back then, albums were released on vinyl LPs and contained an average of 12 songs. 12 songs for $8. Then CDs came on the market and they cost more, $15 or $16, because it was new and better technology, and the manufacturing cost was higher. But over time, CDs became cheaper and cheaper to make, and for a long time now, each CD costs far less to make than an LP ever did. But the price never came down. We're still paying about twice the price for about the same amount of music, and that entire increase and then some is all profit for the big music business. They rob us blind and then whine about how we don't respect their precious copyrights. Somebody should write a song. You know, a typical CD probably costs about three times what it should if it weren't for the obscene profit margins. Given that, it doesn't seem too unreasonable that each one would be shared by three people. Know what I'm saying? For this week, that's The View from the Outpost. For WMBR, this is Dan Murphy. Good evening. It's been some time since comments from the Outpost have been heard here on WMBR, but for tonight at least, we're back, thanks in part to the miracles of modern technology.
Looked dead, didn't I? Well, I wasn't. But it wasn't from lack of trying, I can tell you that. Actually, Bill's last bullet put me in a coma.
Among other things, oh, Mrs. Rutledge, you wanted me to do something about this, didn't you?
A coma I was to lie in for 4 years.
That woman who called, how'd you leave it?
She's to call me back at 6 this evening with instructions.
Why don't you phone me as soon as you've heard from her?
All right.
Oh, and Mrs. Rutledge, as long as you're going to pay $5,000 for the rest of these, you better take this one with you.
Goodbye, Mr. Marlowe.
Well, it wasn't intentional.
Try it sometime.
I went on what the movie advertisements refer to as a roaring rampage of revenge. I roared, and I rampaged, and I got bloody satisfaction. I've killed a hell of a lot of people to get to this point, but I have only one more. The last one. The one I'm driving to right now.
Is so popular because people want to talk about politics. They want to hear about it. They want... And that's the big story that the media has missed, that there's been this shift in the country. And who are these 50% who don't vote?
You gotta help me kill it. I say, no way, man. Just go for it, right? Just go ahead. Hit him over the fucking head with something, right? Wring its neck. I mean, come on. How many people does it take to kill one small cat? All right, so he's as big as a fucking bloodhound, but twice as ugly. But go ahead. Come on. And by now, he's got Black Romeo in his arms, and on his purring and pooing onto his grisly fucking face. Right, Romeo's all getting into it, too stupid to know that any minute he's gonna be history. And then I hear it. Bam! He knuckles the fucker right over the head. But shit, that don't even stun the bastard. It don't even stun him. It just makes him mad as shit. And he lunges at the face and neck and starts clawing. And Al and I'm screaming, kill that fucking thing. Kill it, for God's sake. And he's chasing it all over the house. Could have escaped after getting knuckle dusted a couple hundred times over the head with some kind of brass knuckle-type ring finger contraption that he strapped down just to slaughter the bastard, right? Chasing him all over the place. And I'm screaming, come on. Hit it over the fucking head with that board, man. Hit it. Hit it. And he's got a hammer in one hand and a wrench in the other, looking like some kind of two-fisted fucker on some wild kind of kick, right? He's got this look in his eye, like he really means it, man, all dead set on the execution of this beast, all dead set, poking at it with a broom because it ran under the refrigerator, still wielding the toolbox murder weapons, and the cat's howling for all its worth because it hit it over the head 10 or 20 more times, right? Groaning, groaning like some kind of demon, and he growling under the covers, and I'm going, come on, kill it, kill it. Come on already, it's getting fucking wild, man. Listen to that bastard wailing, and he's screaming back. What the hell do you think I'm trying to do? Get off your lazy goddamn ass and help me, man. Pick up that fucking shovel and hit it. I'll chase him out. Listen to the fucker, man. He's screaming, and I'm going, come on, put it out of my misery. I'm yelling, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it, and out it comes.
Do something like that. As a matter of fact, we found that, particularly in person, if we're working with small groups, we can get across quadrants, levels, lines, states, and types in about 90 minutes with simple exercises.
And down comes the show, and I had blood all over my boots, and no more nagging Black Romeo. No more nagging.
You know that little clock? The one on your VCR? The one that's always blinking 12 noon? 'Cause you never figured out how to get in there and change it. So it's always the same time. Just the way it came from the factory. Good morning. Good night. Same time tomorrow. We're in record. So here are the questions. Is time long? Or is it white? And the answers? Sometimes the answers just come in the mail. And one day you get that letter you've been waiting for forever. And everything it says is true. And then in the last line it says, burn this. We're in record. And what I really want to know is this. Are things getting better? Or are they getting worse? Can we start all over again? Stop. Pause. We're in record. Good morning. Good night. in you. Without a body move, and in our hearts we fly. Stand by. Good morning. Good night. By the shores of Yechegumai, by the shining Big Sea downward through the evening twilight, in the days that are forgotten, from the land of sky blue waters, and that said, Ella, operator, get me Memphis, Tennessee. And she said, I know who you're trying to call, darling, and he's not home, he's been away. But you can hear him on the air, he's howling at the moon. Yeah, this is your country station. And honey, this next one. All along the highway and under the big western
idea that the artist laid his hands off the work, that it was an act of pure selectivity. Duchamp had a kind of high aristocratic indifference about the messy business of paint, right, which he felt was beneath the cerebral powers that an artist wanted.
That, as a matter of fact, we found that particularly in person, if we're working with small groups, we can get across quadrants, levels, lines, states, and types in about 90 minutes with simple exercises of people taking first, second, and third person positions, for example. For levels of development, we use movie clips because everybody knows somebody from level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5.
An artist like Picasso, for example, was deeply invested in the physicality of making things.
You can actually show movie clips of Attila the Hun,
scrap materials he found in,
or Gordon Gekko from Wall Street, or any of the, and people get it immediately.
Things together. Duchamp wanted a kind of surgical strike, a clean conceptual hit.
Never forget those kind of stages of development. And then same with types and states. And in about 90 minutes, you can give people an embodied feel of these dimensions that are part of their own being.
That's left no fingerprints. And I think the tussle between these two different ideas, the one more cerebral, the other more physical, has been one of the more interesting mano a manos in the history of modern art.
But that was no longer the case in the early 19th century. Even the first Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards, you will recall, involved the most advanced thinking of the day, real cutting-edge stuff, Isaac Newton and John Locke. But in the early 19th century, we've got something else. We've got a world of folk magic, popular prophecy, personal revelation where you add new books to Scripture? And we've got a range of apocalypses that is truly extraordinary. And typically, these apocalypses are catastrophic. It's not something we're gradually leading up to, but out of the clouds on one particular day, the Lord will appear, and the tribulations predicted in both the New and the Old Testament will be sitting there upon us. There could be social radicalism in some cases, and this would be true of the black churches, which really emerged in the early 19th century. But more often, it was not socially radical. People were alienated as they enrolled in the camp meetings of the backwoods of New York and Connecticut, in the backwoods of Pennsylvania and Ohio, in Illinois and Kentucky. They would be alienated from American institutions and from American politics.
Avoid the temptation of placing your fingers on the home keys by sight. Strike each key so that your fingers bounce with each stroke. Do not strike without thinking. Do not even attempt to steal a glance at your paper.
I can't remember anything that happened before 2 weeks ago.
Lucky you.
My flowers had just about given up in despair, so with the exception of a few potted plants from the florist, we're flowerless for the first spring in years.
And time!
No, I'm serious. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. None of it.
What? Like, amnesia?
Yes.
Amnesia?
Yes.
the following. Anyone will do, but just one, and you can have as many goes as you like, as long as you enclose one of these. Either the top flap you open on a Weetabix box, the label from an Alberto VO5 shampoo bottle or two empty sachets, the label from any Libby's product, or any Findus frozen food pack top. You just...
Well, I always say that, you know, I grew up with artists like Jasper Johns. And if you look at the Jasper Johns flag of 1958, it's painted like a Cezanne, and it has the intellectual presence of a Duchamp. And these were two traditions, one of them the Cezanne, Picasso, Cubist tradition, which was felt to be the fine art, tactile, sensory, pictorial part of modernism. And then Duchamp, who was the arch theorist, cerebral, games player, etc. And they were felt to be always antagonistic. But if you look at Johns, it's impossible to describe him without talking about the merger of both.
Some pimps wear summer hats into the late fall. Since the money that comes in won't cover it all. Your suit, overcoat, shoes, hat too. You gotta neglect something. So what would you do?
I'm a sort of let a thousand flowers bloom man in a certain sense. I believe that the modern tradition depends on a set of arguments, depends on constant antagonism and criticism, and it needs both of these strains to constantly reinvigorate itself.
Now? And as heartbeats ring percussions, fallen trees ring repercussions, cities play upon our souls like broken drums. We drum the essence of creation from city slums, but city slums mute our drums, and our drums become humdrum, cause city slums have never been where our drums are from. Just the place where our daughters and sons become offbeat heartbeats, slaves to city streets. When hearts get broken and heartbeats stop, broken heartbeats become breakbeats for niggas to rhyme on top, but I won't rhyme on top, no tracks. Niggas on the chain gang used to do that way back. I won't rhyme over tracks. Niggas on the chain gang used to do that way back. Don't drop the beat, no. Don't drop the beat, no. Not until you listen to Rock Kim on a rocky mountaintop have you heard hip-hop.
Yeah.
Extract the urban element that created it and let an open, wide countryside illustrate it. Riding in a freight train in the freezing rain, listening to Coltrane, my reality went insane, and I think I saw Jesus. He was playing hopscotch with Betty Carter, who was cursing him out in a scat like gibberish for not saying Butterfingers. And my fingers run through grains of sand like seeds of time, the pains of man, the frames of mime that you built these frames, which is the structure of my urban superstructure. The trains and planes can corrupt and obstruct your planes of thoughts so that you forget how to walk through the woods, which ain't good cause you ain't never walked through the trees listening to Nobody Beats the Biz, and you ain't never heard hip hop. And you must stop that damn track from going. Please don't drop the beat. Don't drop the beat, no. Cause I will not rhyme on track. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. I will not rhyme on tracks. Niggas on a chain gang used to do that way back. Don't drop the beat, no. Don't drop the beat, no. Don't drop the beat. Heartbeat. My heartbeat goes on. Yeah.
I'm your personal maid.
I know how you feel, believe me.
The more of the tent that's grown to be pity, the sight before him was not pretty. The greatest demeanor indicated that something sacred had been violated. When finally repulsed by Gore, she couldn't take it anymore. She rose and staggered out the door. The future Mrs. Jackie Gore.
She surrendered me. She surrendered me. She surrendered me. Three.
Jackie rushed into the morgue and asked the man in charge which drawer. He drew Jack out and Jackie's on. The husband laid out in the raw. She lowered her precious wedding bed onto his dad's bed, room, and in life she'd given very nearly everything. Now he was dead. She surrendered her ring.
She surrendered her. 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 She surrendered her.
So at the end of the first song, I didn't know what the second song was.
The aim of human life is to know thyself. Think for yourself. Question authority. Think with your friends. Create new realities. Philosophy is a team sport. Philosophy is the ultimate aphrodisiac pleasure. Learning how to operate your brain. Learning how to operate your mind. Learning how to redesign chaos. The religious leaders and the political leaders want to give you orders to run your life, to determine how you think. The basic goal is to operate your own mind.
He's no ordinary man. This has got to be handled very differently.
That could be dangerous.
You know how important this is.
Around 3,000 years ago, a group of human beings in Athens, Greece, developed a new philosophy. The basic religion of humanity is called humanism. Socrates said, "The aim of human life is to know thyself. Create and design your own order." Socrates did not give commandments. Socrates did not impose order. Socrates asked questions. He encouraged them. friends, to speculate, to design, to create, to interact with your own versions of reality. Socrates said, the way to perform philosophy is in small groups, raising questions, learning from each other, changing your mind, growing together, thinking together. The religious leaders said, you can't say that, Socrates. The gods are in control. Who are you to say you have to say? How dare you think you can know? Gods determine. Sacrifice to the gods. Obey the gods. Socrates said, no. Look within. For that, they gave Socrates the hemlock. Because he dared to tell people, think for yourself and question authority. To think for yourself, you must learn how to reprogram, reform, inform your own brain. Do this, to take responsibility for your brain, it is necessary to question everything that you have been taught, to question authority, to learn, to take the brave step of taking responsibility for operating your brain, for designing, redesigning, reforming the chaos within. Throughout human history, as our species has faced the frightening, terrorizing fact that we do not know who we are or where we're going in this ocean of chaos, it has been the authorities, the political, the religious, the educational authorities who attempted to comfort us by giving us order, rules, regulations.
Lovely day.
Showers later.
The footage you're watching was shot yesterday afternoon by a 34-year-old local cameraman in Bangalore, the southern city of India. It's the 18th reported crop sign found in that country in the last 72 hours.
I'm gonna return the radio.
They are signs intended to be seen from the sky.
No radio either. Just for a while.
Ninth song, I didn't know what the 10th song was.
There's more, but you have enough. You're done. You are done. In the living of this life, there are places to which you can return, beautiful places. wondrous places. Places worthy of repeated visits. And we encourage you to return to such places. They may be located in a linear time called the past, but they're not your past. They are enchanted moments, sacred moments. Enchanted, sacred, beautiful, loving times from which you can draw strength. They are sources, resources, they are oases that happen to be located in a linear space called past. But in no other way are they your past. You see, past is not a time. Past is an attitude. Past is not events. It's the patterns that have emerged out of those events and produce the replication. When we've talked of releasing the past, we still talk of past lifetimes. They are not the past. Because the past is an attitude, not a time, not a location. It's an attitude. And people who live in the past do it today. And you know people who live in the past. Continuously, 24/7, 365. And they're not doing it back then. They're doing it today. And they will do it tomorrow, and they will continue to do it for days to come. It is not a linear thing, the past. It is an attitude. It is not events. It is the emotional response. There are places, things you have done, places you have been, that are worthy of return repeatedly, and we encourage that and we'll accompany you. And there are places in life, sadly too many, that we wish you would never return to again.
Okay. Let's turn on the TV.
Near the back wall of the throat. It's a sound which vibrates and resonates in the nose. The Australian pattern is one of the very few dialects or accents that we deal with which literally does pass the phonated air out through the nose.
Put that inside. Put the name of the product that you've enclosed outside on the envelope. Send it in.
But the story was unfolding, and then I'd write the next song, and then we record it.
I hope you win. Please win a lot, because, oh my goodness me, we want you to win.
I really don't know.
You never wondered. You never tried to find out.
So at the end of the first song, I didn't know what the second song was. At the end of the ninth song, I didn't know what the tenth song was.
Might be just beyond her reach.
Sure, I mean, they literally are. And I had an interesting talk with an MIT professor today that we might have on the show next week, and he was talking about how, you know, most of us have a conscience, but there literally is a scientific anomaly where some of us will have smaller frontal lobes than others and be more susceptible to this kind of thing, you know, embeds, video games, because we have to kind of learn if that's the defect we're born with, to have a conscience, to have some, you know, morality.
story was unfolding, and then I'd write the next song, and then we record it. Then we had a completely finished album.
Yes. No, but many people have told me they can see the, or I can see the RO in people at times. But no, I've never had it photographed, but I've been told about it. Yes, sir.
Yes, how would you explain Venus's retrograde rotation?
I don't know. You know, I'm not really a scientist, and I'm not aware. To tell you the truth, I have read very little books in my lifetime. All of my knowledge is just from when I grew up on Venus and what I've gathered here in my everyday life. But I was given the knowledge and wrote down everything I could about how the ships work from my uncle, and also Adamski's books. They told me to get his books and get the drawings out of them because they were absolutely correct, and they had been given to Adamski. But I'm not really a scientifically based person, because it wasn't... Right. That's what I said. We have a different aging process because of the way our planet is. You know, we do age different. We live to be 500 years old. And
I've got it figured. You do?
I've had two separate folks tell me there have been strangers around these parts last couple nights. Can't tell what they look like. They're staying in the shadows. Nobody's been hurt, mind you. And that's the giveaway.
I see.
It's called probing. It's a military procedure. You send out a reconnaissance group, very small, check things out.
He's no ordinary man.
And participating in what is the real thing. Savonarola comes to believe that the Florentine Republic will lead Italy, and Italy will lead mankind into a renewed world.
Not to engage, but to evaluate.
From what I hear. Now, I would love to give you more details of this, but I think I better rush on.
The situation. Evaluate the level of danger. Make sure things are all clear.
Now, if anyone thinks what's going on is just about non-citizens and that citizens have nothing to fear from the war on terrorism, they should take a look at other recent developments. Now we have the FBI back on campuses as they were during the days of COINTELPRO's dirty tricks. They recently investigated MJ Al-Habib, an American professor of Iraqi descent at UMass Amherst, because they heard he had made un-American comments.
Fear for what?
For the rest of them.
Steve, you have 12 steps of justification, 16 steps of sanctification. Where am I?
It's very complicated, but
then we listened to the album and put the pictures on top of.
Thank you.
So how do you do this transformation thing? How do you turn your enemies into allies?
Because these will not provide a source of salvation. But they will not alienate it at all, almost always not at all, from American social values. They were not seeking radical social change, quite unlike Winstanley and the Quakers. But not only in the sense were they not seeking radical social change, they were not a counterculture as the Quakers had been. They reinforced traditional middle-class social values. They reinforced traditional economic values. They reinforced traditional family values. They broke with government. They broke with institutions. They broke with the republic. But they didn't break with social tradition and social traditionalism. Two key movements which emerge at this time deserve our particular attention. One is the Millerites. The other are the Mormons. They emerge at almost exactly the same time in 1830.
Right now, the only one left. And when I arrive at my destination, I am gonna kill Bill.
Is it that sometimes the pain inside has to come to the surface, and when you see evidence of the pain inside, you finally know you are really here? Then when you watch the wound heal, it's comforting, isn't it?
That's a way to put it.
The similarity is that both of the films are kind of treated as a silent film.
We're very fine, 1-2, that's his sure shot. The time coming up to 21 minutes to go before 6 o'clock. Hey, all potential Radio Caroline advertisers should find out the facts about Caroline's new premium promotion schemes. Now, this is a brand new way to advertise with costs at a minimum level and yet retaining maximum audience coverage.
It is an intricate, it is a complex process. And as all process, it has seven steps. Anything that moves, anything that changes, anything that grows, does so according to process. Process always has seven components or steps.
With the sound being added to it, mm-hmm. Only it's backwards on Greendale. It's like a silent film, but it's laid on top of the story.
Come on, honey. Let me take you to your quarters.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
It was at an army camp in Nevada that she met the pianist again.
An abscess had formed at the back of her throat, and singing was painful. An officer had taken her to the medical unit, and Tony...
We have a government-issued watch list, which has mutated as it has been emailed and faxed around the world. It contains all sorts of faulty information about a large number of men, many who are called Muhammad. Many of these men have been cleared of any suspicion, but there is no way to get them off the list. The list seems to have a life of its own. We also have no fly lists containing the names of suspicious people. Cases, left-wing journalists and lawyers, environmental and Green Party organizers, aging peace activists, including a 74-year-old nun, Sister Lowinger.
I'll take over and bring
these
back
people have been prevented from boarding planes in Maine, Milwaukee, Newark, and San Francisco. I want to give you one story which is almost amusing. Art dealer Doug Stuber, who ran Ralph Nader's presidential campaign in North Carolina in 2000, was prevented from getting on a plane to Hamburg, Germany, after getting engaged in a debate with other passengers as they waited on the long security line. This was soon after the election, and he apparently said rather loudly, George Bush is as dumb as
and the bitter taste.
Security staff, over alert, contacted the local
security. Well, my sweet Debbie, you've got an abscess at the back of your throat.
They took him to a
fair-sized one.
They questioned
and it's burst.
Fingerprinted,
I'm going to give you some antibiotics.
Eye scan.
A shot in your arm right now and tablets for 10 days. You've got to stay in bed for at least 2 days, then we'll see how you're doing.
He saw open a loose leaf binder on the table that contained a long list of organizations.
And if you don't stay in bed,
and among the names
you'll have a temperature like a furnace and your throat won't heal at all.
Greenpeace, Earth First, and Amnesty International. Now, even though Ashcroft's Operation TIPS, you'll remember that, right, the TIPS program, even though it did not get funded in its full-blown form, in other words, they're not going to allow these citizen spies to enter your house, but they're still out there in the streets, we have plenty of examples of TIPS at work. The FBI visited a student in North Carolina who had a poster on her wall depicting Governor George W. Bush presiding over 152 people on death row in Texas when he was governor. When a man from Voices of the Wilderness in Chicago went to the post office and asked to have Statue of Liberty stamps instead of flag stamps, he was reported by the alert post office attendant.
Summation of the events in regard to the Reuben Berkowitz libel, yours sincerely, etc. Okay. The phone is ringing. Answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bring!
Hello, this is the office of...
Listen, you're a big girl. You can get a much bigger voice out of that tiny throat of yours.
Tiny?
Miss Holloway, you told me when I hired you that you were used to answering phones.
I am.
Did you get enough sleep last night?
What?
The phone is ringing.
Hello. This is the office of Mr. E. Edward Gray.
You see, that's showing a little spunk. After all, I'm not running a mortuary.
No.
Mayan stuff. Guys and guys can do that, you know. I mean, I always was jealous because I wasn't homosexual, you know. Because, you know, they got all this Mayan stuff and all the screen stuff, and I'd read all these books, you know, and Blue Jelly and all, you know, this, you know how it is. And I thought, fuck, you know, I can't, you know, and I have these dreams that, like, I could, like, you know, like steal boy skins at night and put them on and pee and stuff like that. But now that I've, like, found, like, this new toy, this isn't... I got 7 ways of going. I got 7 ways to be. I got 7 sweet disguises. 7 ways of being me. Right here is where I usually tell the story. I usually tell the story.
Now, you're thinking of advertising on Radio Caroline. Get the facts about.
I usually tell the story about something that happened to me on one of these particular voyages. But I'll make it real fast. I was expecting to go to my usual stuff with all these, like, you know, like weird, these, like, girl boy Muslim Christian angel guys, you know, that, like, have these, like, all these machines, all these, like, neon machines, and they put you in, like, on this pine tree shape. But this time, I don't know how it happened, I got to 16th century Japan. And it was and the neat thing about it was the first time that I got to really be a boy. And I was like this boy, this like ninja boy, this archer. And like he was totally in love with a sister who looked just like him. And he wanted to become, he couldn't care for her. He wanted her to have the best. So he became the best archer. And so the king took him as his top archer. And he took his sister to the palace. And the king fell in love with his sister. And the archer who had worked and worked and worked to get his sister fine garments didn't mean to get her fine garments in the king's bed. So when the king sent him out the next day, he was walking through the fields. He had on his armor and his black and white squares like a chessboard. He stood on the black square and looked and saw how the black square looked like the back of his sister's hair. He looked at the window shape in the palace, in the castle. He imagined the king over his sister, his black and white sister. He was so dazzled by that photograph that he took off his laid his armor down and took the dart and named it Swift at the king's heart. And he started walking toward the castle, started walking toward the palace, started walking. He was walking, he was walking, he was walking. In this big step I am taking 7 seizures for the true. I got 7 ways of going, 7 ways of loving. You be free of all deception. Be safe from bodily harm. Love without exception. Be a saint in any form. Thank you.
Post office box number 3, Ramsey, Isle of Man. And we thank you very much indeed. We really want to hear from you very much indeed, so as we know exactly how we're doing, right?
And so we want to very precisely lay out how you transform negativity by turning enemy to ally. And we lay it out in this fashion as our process with its 7 steps. And it begins. The first step is to level the playing field. To level the playing field. Don't go after your enemy half-cocked. Don't go after your enemy on a spontaneous, why not? You need to level the playing field. And what we mean by that is you need to become more conscious. You need to become very conscious of who your enemy is. Well, it's my negativity. No. It is a very particular kind of negativity, a very specialized kind of negativity. And you need to level the playing field by beginning to understand and by beginning to be conscious of who that enemy is. Now, we suggest as starters, we suggest as ways to prime the pump, as ways to get churning in your side of yourself to know who that enemy is, that often the enemy falls into one of several categories. The enemy often falls into a category that we call the keepers, or the stealers, or the competitors, or the objectors. The keepers. That part of the negative ego, or your negative ego, perhaps. Not everybody's negative ego is your enemy. It's negative, yes, but it's not always your enemy. But that part of your negative ego, or your negative ego, that keeps your fear patterns in place, that keeps you constantly reminded that you're going to be abandoned, you're going to be abandoned, you're going to be betrayed. Keep reminding you that they're going to demand perfection, they're going to demand your perfection, they're going to make you be perfect, and if you're not, you'll get dumped. They will constantly remind you that you're going to be martyred. You succeed, you'll be happy, people will lean, they'll count on you, they'll drag on you, and if you let them down, well, they'll put it at all, you're going to be martyred. Well, your flaw will show. Constantly that pattern of fear, or that somehow you won't struggle enough to get your entitlements, and you'll be left out. Or that something disastrous is going to happen. Do. Something's awful out there, and it's gonna get you. Or you'll be excluded, left out, left behind. That keeper who keeps these patterns well cultivated, well watered, growing strong no matter what you do. The keeper who keeps your substitutions for expectation and your worldview of cynicism or lethargy or self-doubt or fear or entitlement itself or control or anxiety in place. The keeper that keeps your bottom line, your fortress of needing to control, or always feeling intimacy, always feeling loneliness, or your shame, or your narcissism. The whole world revolves around me. Your martyrhood, your pride. The keeper that holds the dark law and keeps putting it back together again. The keeper may be your enemy. That may be its function. The stealers, we've talked of them, the dream stealers, that also steal your creativity, your imagination, your intuition, often your wisdom. The passion stealers, who put the wet blanket on any bit of fire, any bit of heat, any bit of excitement, any bit of joy and enthusiasm, any bit of passion. The stealers, such as the trickster, which is an archetypal energy, though not an archetype. An archetypal energy of the trickster, the culmination of all the weakest qualities that you have. The one in you who always is looking for the shortcut that inevitably cuts you short. The one in you that always wants something for nothing and end up with nothing. And have indeed often spent a great deal of something. What is it? The stealer. Your dark lover. The dark lover of logic and reason in your affair with the straight line. Yeah. The dark love of your martyr, who you honor far more than any intimate in your reality, who you have been unfaithful with to your own wife or husband or your own lover, your own friends. The self-pity, the martyr, the control, the addiction. Self-destructive, sadistic, masochistic, addictions. Who you are never unfaithful to, who you never betray, but who often, for whom off you betray often many others. Maybe that is your enemy. Not just the thing you have, not just something you do, not just an addiction, not just a thingy, but an enemy. A stealer that steals your heart, steals your soul, steals the heart and soul of those you love, shatters and shreds. If not a keeper, if not a stealer, maybe a competitor. A competitor who competes in order to judge, to assess better thans and less thans to the winners and to the losers. A competitor who wants to compete in order to punish, to hurt. It's not enough just to gather a score, but you've got to rip the heart out of your opponent. You've got to punish them. You've got to make them feel weak. The competitor who wants revenge. The competitor who wants to destroy, as in envy. It is never satisfied until the source of that envy falls or is broken. The competitor who wants to shred the component who they see as enemy. That could be your enemy. Or the objector. Control, martyr, self-pity, the core, the four horsemen of your own destruction. Control, self-pity, martyr, manipulation. To know, leveling the playing field, what is my enemy, who is it? And who is it in form? Does it take form of your child? Some of you have a child who is your enemy. Others have a child who is scared and frightened and wants more love. Some of you have a child who is the enemy, who is bent on your destruction, who absolutely embittered, enraged, furious, self-centered, often very narcissistic, wants you to be destroyed because you didn't live up to their expectations. You didn't turn out the way they wanted because they didn't get it. God damn, you aren't going to get it either. Some of you have a child who is your enemy, who keeps, who steals, the competitor, the objector. Or is it an adolescent for some? So embroiled and embittered that you didn't turn out the way they wanted to. They had all kinds of dreams of what you were going to be. And look at you now, look at you now. You aren't ruling the world. You aren't God's gift to anything. You aren't king of the world. You aren't recognized as the greatest man that ever existed. You aren't the most beautiful, the most voluptuous, the most every man's dream of a woman. You failed me. And some so bitter, so vicious in that they are your enemy. My little girl, they are your enemy. Perhaps the child, the adolescent, maybe for some it's your mother who is the enemy, so jealous of you, so envious of you, so angry at you that you didn't make her life become, or the mothering figure, it need not be limited to the woman that was, or the father, or a sibling, or a member of the extended family, or one of your exes, be it in physical relationship or in business, one of the exes, or one of those enemies out there, your nemesis, that no matter what seems to always be there to spit on your reality. This may be your enemy who keeps and who steals and who competes to destroy and who continuously objects. It may be your very negative ego. It may be some human being shape form that you don't even know. Some grotesque human, distorted and twisted with the enemy status that they have acquired. It may be a beast, half animal, half human, all animal. It may be some hideous creature, some weird abstract energy. It may be some wild, beasty thing that never existed upon a physical plane, that is a gargoyle, a griffin, some sort of evil energy that is your enemy. That keeps, that steals, that competes, that objects, and all around stops you. And it's important to level the playing field. Who is your enemy?
My mission is to bring the sounds of bebop, jazz, and blues to the gay and lesbian community. And it's a very difficult mission. This is a hard thing for me to do because it's not really the music that we in the queer community tend to listen to, is it? You know, like lesbians are always listening to, you know, that... you know, that... Oh, Chernobyl, why... kind of... Death and destruction, why... Chernobyl.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you all have a good time tonight. It's really good to be here. I've been... It's so scary out there. There's nothing there for us. That is where so many religious right-wing people live. You know, and they had all those floods last spring. Remember that? We didn't say anything. As a matter of fact, I kept hearing on the news, the only thing keeping this city from being completely ruined by the floodwaters is that big dike. It's very difficult to be a single lesbian. It really is. There's no other single lesbians. If you want a date, you have to break up a couple, and that's horrible. 6 months later, by the time you figure out if you like her or not, she's already living with you. She had nowhere to go, and she broke up with her girlfriend. I know that it's very different for gay men, because I read the personal ads in gay papers. You want to see some differences between men and women, honey? Flip through those ads. Because the men's ads are so out there. They're really graphic. I mean, you're reading along those men's ads, they're like, big, hairy, and hung. Seeking smelly caveman. For serious spanking, jack off, and uncut action.
This may fall into the black hole, leaving the other member free to escape to infinity. The escaping particles appear to have been radiated by the black hole. The spectrum of a black hole is exactly what we would expect from a hot body with a temperature proportional to the gravitational field on the horizon, the boundary of the black hole. In other words, the temperature of a black hole depends on its size. A black hole of a few solar masses would have a temperature of about a millionth of a degree above absolute zero, and a larger black hole would have an even lower temperature. Thus, any quantum radiation from such black holes would be utterly swamped by the 2.7 minus degree radiation left over from the hot Big Bang, the cosmic background radiation that we discussed in Chapter 2. It would be possible to detect the radiation from much smaller and hotter black holes, but there don't seem to be many of them around. That's a pity. If one were discovered, I would get a Nobel Prize. However, we have indirect observational evidence for this radiation, and that evidence comes from the early universe.
Most people think that the best way to live is to run from pain, but a much more joyful life embraces the entire spectrum of human feeling. If we can fully experience pain as well as pleasure, we can live a much deeper and more meaningful life.
As described in Chapter 3, it's thought that very early in its history, the universe went through an inflationary period, during which it expanded at an ever-increasing rate. The expansion during this period would have been so rapid that some objects would be too distant from us for their light ever to reach us. Thank you. universe would have expanded too much and too rapidly. That light was traveling toward us.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to.
Replace the light bulb in the hallway to my office.
If you want another
121.
Kind of love.
Mr. Gray?
Good to see you again, Mr. Garvey. You remember my secretary, Miss Holloway.
I'm sorry about the typo.
If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger.
It's porterhouse steak.
Here I
mashed.
Stand.
No. Creamed potatoes. Green
man.
Peas. Iced tea. And ice cream.
Okay. If you want a butter, just a scoop of creamed potatoes.
I will
and a slice of butter.
Into the
four peas. As much ice cream as you'd like to eat.
Thus, there would be an horizon in the universe, like the horizon of a black hole.
If you want to drive or climb inside, or if you want to take me for a ride.
Separating the region from which light can reach us and the region from which it can't. Very similar arguments show that there should be thermal radiation from this horizon.
Are the moons too bright? The chains too tight? The beast won't go to sleep. I've been running through.
Cosmo's advice for getting your man to share his feelings more intimately is to first try some breezy humor. Whatever you do. Don't jump too quickly into relationship talk. Don't tell me they're just like letting the audience just fucking stand out there like that. Oh my god, okay. Hey, let's hurry, y'all, seriously. This is retarded. They told me they were gonna do a vamp. Thank you, baby. Oh, shit. Oh no! What are they doing? I'm just not gonna just stand out there. I thought they were gonna fucking vamp. Okay. Okay, thanks. This is retarded.
As there is from a black hole horizon. In thermal radiation, we've learned to expect a characteristic spectrum of density fluctuations. In this case, these density fluctuations would have expanded with the universe.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Indian or China?
Either.
When their length scale became longer than the size of the event horizon, they would have become frozen in, so that we can observe them today as small variations in the temperature of the cosmic background radiation left over from the early universe. Thank you.
Brandon Thompson, Mill Machine Company?
Yeah.
I was just trying to see if you're interested.
Yeah. I just got some bad news today, so.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear this.
Yeah, I just found out I got AIDS.
Sorry to hear this.
Well, you didn't f*** me in the ass without a condom.
Okay. Okay. You were interested in the desktop folder?
Yeah.
It has the capacity to fold up to 1,300 pieces per hour.
Right, yeah.
It depends on how many pieces you fold and insert per month. That would let you know what price range you'll be in.
Yeah, I don't know how much you're going to have to spend. I mean, I'm going to be spending a lot on AZT now. What's your name again?
My name is Brandon.
Brandon.
Yes, sir.
You sound familiar. Did I meet you before?
No, sir. I'm in Texas.
You're in Texas?
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. I met a Brandon on a plane that was coming from Dallas, went to Florida.
No, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
We walked on the beach?
No, sir.
You weren't the guy that, remember, under the boardwalk? Then afterwards you didn't want to cuddle?
No, sir.
Brandon from Texas.
I'm just a guy trying to see if you're interested in purchasing a photo insert, sir.
I mean, look, if you're married now, I understand. You know, and you don't want that to come up, but I just thought it was pretty cold what you did.
I have no clue what you're talking about. Okay, well, I have a sales representative to contact you. Thank you.
Brandon, you sure it's not you?
The observations of those variations agree with the predictions of thermal fluctuations with remarkable accuracy.
That will be all.
Unfortunately, though, these people are targeted, and we're all being targeted. And
sell the concept to the record company. They basically said, no, you can't do that.
Who is your enemy? The enemy, to acknowledge that it is your enemy, and a part of you, yes, but a part of you that you need to differentiate, that you need to separate, so that you can learn, so that reference, so that you can see the enemy. To differentiate it, to take it out of you, but more one. You are, but you need to separate it, to see it, to level the playing field. know your enemy. Recognize it. Acknowledge it. Forgive yourself for having this enemy and be willing to change. All part of leveling the playing field.
Look at it. Do you see that?
What?
This letter has three typing errors in it, one of which is, I believe, a spelling error.
Observational evidence for black hole radiation is a bit indirect. Everyone who has studied the problem agrees it must occur in order to be consistent with our other observationally tested theories.
Basically said, no, you can't do that. And, sell the concept to the record company.
This has important implications for determinism.
They basically said, no, you can't do that. And, that's not what we're doing.
The radiation from a black hole will carry away energy, which must mean that the black hole will lose mass and get smaller.
Videos. And I said, well, wait a minute. This is, it's not about what you're doing for videos. It's about what I want to do.
I'm sorry.
This isn't the first time either. There. The first time either. There have been others that I let go because it was in the first few weeks.
You'll find night clothes in that locker.
Oh, do I really have to be in bed for 2 days?
Yes, you do.
It's my music.
In turn, this will mean that its temperature will rise and the rate of radiation will increase.
Letting the audience just fucking stand out there like that.
Certainly there's enough robot radicals out there and robots to show us exactly what they're accomplishing. Well, I think this is very dangerous. Also, Carlyle Group has embraced telecom. This is another $2 billion deal, folks. And you have to understand, this company has grown in leaps and bounds. And they literally will work with governments to ruin companies and then go in and buy them at rock-bottom prices. And
so that you can ready yourself so that you can make this transformation and make it stick, make it real. Leveling the playing field, becoming more conscious by knowing the enemy. There's one, maybe two, maybe three, probably not more than that. And if you've convinced yourself you've got a whole legion of enemies, you're wrong. That's what your enemy is telling you. Which one is saying that? Which you is doing that? That's the enemy that's saying, it's them, it's them, it's them. They're the enemy. Nobody here but us chickens. I'm not the enemy, I'm your friend. I'm trying to help you point out the enemies. They're all out there.
Who is this?
Who the hell are you?
Now your enemy. You don't have many. One, maybe two, possibly three. Highly unlikely any more than that. Level the playing field, number one. Number two, you need to engage the enemy. You need to engage the enemy. Makes sense. It's logical. You need to engage the enemy. The engaging stage is to engage the enemy, some of you as warrior, some of you as adventurer. And therefore, as warrior or as adventurer, you need to engage the enemy. But I thought we weren't supposed to be warriors anymore. No. Vicious warriors, yeah, that's good to stop, but you know, you can still, when it's mean to and you need to make war, it's good to be a warrior. And for some of you, you need to make war with your enemy, because your enemy is a warrior, and if you don't make war, it's going to eat you alive. It's going to have you for breakfast. It's going to break you like a twig. And if your enemy is one you need to make war with, then you better go as a warrior. Oh, but that's not spiritual. Yes, it is. To go as a warrior is very spiritual if what you need to do is be a warrior. And some of you do need to confront your enemy. Some of you do need to battle it, and we mean battle. Yes, to go through the throes and beating and thrashing and breaking and crushing and elbowing and punching and biting and kicking and cutting and stabbing and breaking and smashing and... But in the process, learning about it. Not just enjoying the dance. Not just enjoying the ballet of battle. Ooh, I stabbed it in the heart and I stabbed it in the toe and I stabbed it in the thigh and I cut its head off and I chopped its eyes up and made a pate and I did the... To truly do battle and to conquer it. Some of you need to conquer it and to kill it. Well, no, no. If I kill it, how am I going? It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Some of you need to go that far. Others of you don't. Others, that would be totally inappropriate. And you'll know, you don't need to confront. You instead need to encounter.
It's done.
Shut it down.
You need to encounter your enemy and you need to sit down with it and unfold it. Figure out, why is it smarter than you? Why is it more powerful than you? Why can it use your powers better than you do? Why can it use your strength and your talent far more effectively than you? Why is it so much more adroit, so much more adept at doing what you do better than you do? Well, how come it's more persevering? How come it has greater vision? How come it has greater stamina? You need to unfold. You need to learn. And in the process of unfolding, to befriend. Some need to confront and battle and conquer and in victory claim the spoils. Others need to encounter, to unfold, to befriend and triumph. and in triumph gather the treasures. The process of engaging involves taking back the power you've given the enemy, demanding it back, taking it back, wrestling it out of it, beating it out of it, or engaging it and unfolding, befriending, take back the power. You need to get your power back. You need to also understand the actions of the enemy. You need to understand the intent of the enemy, because that is your action and that is your intent. Not totally, not exclusively, not wholly, but it is a part of the whole. It is part of that oneness. And therefore you need to understand, what is the intent of my enemy? What is its action? What is its image and what is its identity? You need to know these things. And that's what you garner from the battle. Not just a bloody broken sword, but you garner from the battle to understand its power, that is your power, its intent, its image, its action, its identity, the gifts, the treasures that are yours. You are the enemy, of course, but you need to disengage, or you need to differentiate in battle, or differentiate and adventure, to understand these things. We talked with one many, many months ago about their control. And we explained to them that your control is not just going to walk away, as is your enemy, not just going to go, shucks, found out, gosh, oh gee. Well, I'll quit, I'll retire. Yeah. You're not going to go away easily. Not going to go away like that. So we talked to this one, we said, your control is absolutely furious, and it's going to try to do you in. It's going to try. You talk about giving up control, and you need to go find your control, and you need to battle it. You need to grow as a warrior.
And that was the beginning of the end with that record company.
And then go ahead and use their connections again to build these companies up to the stratosphere.
That you need to fight, and you need to break it, and it needs to break you, and you need to break it, and you need to win and kill it.
Of course, this is illegal, but called insider trading, among other things. But Carlyle Group embraces telecom, a $2 billion deal for Japanese wireless firms, follows other investments. You can go to carlylegroup.net to actually witness some of these transactions. And
stop before you kill it. And so this person went about this process, found the time space, made it, prepared it, went in and found the control, and they began the battle, stripped down to battle, you know, swords and shields and all this wrestling and kicking and biting and gouging and elbowing and playing very unfair, dirty, they fight dirty, so fight dirty back, you know, that sort of thing. And almost killed, almost strangled, tables turned, on and on and on. Finally they were in the winning. And killing, 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 and the control said, I quit, I give up. I give up, you're stronger than me. Please, please, I quit, I give up. Uncle, whatever you want. Oh, please, don't hurt me anymore. One, you're a superior warrior. And so this one, being fair play and all, also a bit enamored with the ego strokes, nonetheless, picked up control, and they sat by the fire as two manly men who've just engaged in great battle. Toasting marshmallows, no doubt. When all of a sudden this one realized, now Lozano said, kill it. He said, kill it. And just as he was about to turn to, there was his control fully in force, pouncing upon him, attacking from behind, going to do him in for the last time. And he then proceeded to do as suggested, to kill the control. Then to sit by the fire and talk about it. But first, you see, if it's to engage in battle, then carry it to the end.
Walking through the city, your boots are high-heeled and are shining bright. The sun was sparkling on the shaft of your life, glaring in the morning rain. Dying in my hands was it all in vain. Superstar in your own private movie, I wanted just a minor part. But I'm no fool, and know you're cool, and never really wanted your heart.
Just read the polemics written by Republican conservatives in the 1930s and compare them with Ronald Reagan's type of conservatism. Nobody really wants to go back to the conservatism of the past. It really is dead. Next question. The Dionysian, bringing in the Dionysian idea from Nietzsche, the Dionysian, the way Nietzsche uses Dionysian, it means ecstatic, as distinguished from Apollonian, which is rational. And if you read Nietzsche carefully, what he's basically trying to describe in those poetic metaphors are what we nowadays think of as linear left-brain thinking, which is the Apollonian, and right-brain holistic thinking, which is the Dionysian. And I think if you look at history as a whole, you find that both of them are subject to perversion, especially when they become ruling class ideologies. So you find some really nasty Apollonian-type civilizations and some really nasty Dionysian-type civilizations, and you find some very good civilizations of both of those types too. So I don't think you draw a line and say the Dionysian is good and the Apollonian is bad, or the Apollonian is good and the Dionysian is bad. These seem to be part of a dialectic, both of which are necessary for our evolution as I see it. Is that quite what you were asking? Oh, good. Next question.
Information, and I'm curious, what's life after the information age like? And maybe you can talk about the genetic and quantum explosions.
Well, yeah, what comes after the information age? That's the kind of question that has perplexed me a lot in the last 10 years. When I start projecting forward the scientific breakthroughs that I feel fairly confident about, when I reach about the year 2004, my mind goes blank. I can't imagine what happens beyond a certain point. Things are moving so fast that it gets harder and harder. You reach a point where it seems that all the utopian fantasies of the past are going to come true. That is assuming we don't screw things up and really wreck the planet first. And what happens after that? This is the kind of question I keep wondering about. Obviously, one of the things that's going to happen is that we're going to have genetic engineering, whether conservatives object to it or not. It's an interesting field for research. The possibilities are enormous. I think one thing that might happen is if it turns out that we cannot extend human lifespan beyond a certain point, let's say we can double it to 140, triple it to...
Oh my God, okay. Hey, let's hurry, y'all, seriously. This is retarded. They told me they were going to do a vamp. Thank you, baby. Oh, shit.
Basically, that's when I started feeling like, video is not going to be my friend if I can't do what I want to do with it and I can't explore it in my own way. Why do I have to make videos that have me in them? Why do we have to have a bunch of dancing girls? Why do we have to have, a certain measure of violence or guns or something? Why do we have to have all of these formulatic expressions imposed on my music?
Do you really want to be my secretary?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Wave function can't be measured. Because of this, it's not possible to predict the spin or the wave function of the particle that escapes. It can have different spins and different wave functions with various probabilities, but it doesn't have a unique spin or wave function.
poor and working class and even middle class people were losing ground.
Almost everybody was losing ground, particularly in the throughout the 1980s, throughout the Reagan and first Bush regime, and into the early 90s, because there was a long economic downturn. I mean, some economists were calling it a mini depression. I mean, from about 1989 to 94, things were really slow. Incomes were not recovering. And so only at the end of the 90s did working people recover a little bit. But do you know what their gain was for 20 years of economic progress? Because our economy grew, they gained 1%. Their incomes went up 1%, whereas the incomes of the top CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies went up over 1,000%. The stock market, mostly owned by the very richest Americans, went up over 1,000%. Top CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies went up over 1,000%.
Still new metaphysics. That's in between you and me. Right over here at Ground Zero. At this man's Ground Zero, the Twin Towers fall below ground. They don't just stop at the surface. Any civilization can do that. www.newmetaphysics.com, of course. Catch a lot of Disney shorts there. Trailers, of course, which we all are dying to see. We go out of our way to see those these days. And you can wash off some media there and just get it deleted out of you. Gary at newmetaphysics.com. If you want to complain why Windows Media Player doesn't work for you, just give a call. I'll explain you. 12 steps or more. Just remember.
Thus it would seem that our power to predict the future would be further reduced.
Anything you hear from the media, even the really underground, farthest left, farthest right, a la Alex Jones and La Russians and so forth, media is within the envelope. You'll know if you're outside. You'll know.
Code in, please. Code in. Code in.
And that stuff you'll never hear inside. Even Descartes would agree with that, since he was the essence of Mr. Inside. By definition, if it's inside, it exists, and the thing it's inside exists. Now, isn't that profound? We don't need none of that kind of stuff. Not today. Post today. So when they say like CEO salaries or political contributions by large corporations, you know that's inside. It's not telling you anything that would give you perspective on what's going on today. You have to have some kinds of intuitive direct knowledge. You need the real technologies today. The kind that can only come from you. Source of it all. Well, I'll be moseying. I'm going to do my Shane in the Sunset routine. Whatever the hell happened to him. But to return during the next mode shift. Fuck that phase shift bullshit. That's passé. I mean, I'm not writing this life off. This dead-end job ain't the only economy to have a job in. I'm not looking to conserve energy usage. Remember now, transcendence is the best revenge. I mean that.
Stock market. Who's on the board? John Major and Frank Carlucci and up.
I put my foot on the top of the stairs. I couldn't make it.
Development chart. This continues right up till today.
This is retarded. They told me they were going to do a vamp. Thank you, baby. Oh, shit.
Informing. Forming their minds.
Both are deeply millenarian. Both are obsessed with a catastrophic apocalypse.
Fit in if they wanted to stay, and although fitting in entailed submitting their minds and bodies to Charlie's beliefs and will, many of them enjoyed the cyberitic recreation so much that they believed this crippling servitude really was some sort of perfect freedom. One must add that the family members really did love one another. Granted so much of the attention and adulation he craved, Charlie's ideas of the center of his family grew madder and madder. He hid the madness, however, from those he wished to impress with his potential for singing stardom. An old prison friend, Phil Kaufman, had contacts who brought Charlie to the attention of Universal Studios. The studio was interested in the new hippie cults of the West Coast, and aware that square, commercial-minded movie moguls were unlikely to know what would appeal to the young. With the hope that Charlie might unlock kiddie purses at the cinema box office, Universal signed him as a consultant. That particular break went nowhere, as he was asked to pass comment on a scenario which had Jesus reincarnating in a racist Deep South community. Unfortunately, Manson himself was intensely racist, to the extent that he would not listen to jazz or allow part Amerindians to mix with his pure white Aryan chicks.